You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with Christine Petrilla of Petrilla PR and Marketing about the changing landscape of public relations. She believes automation is the key to getting the most of these investments. Christine, a pleasure to have you with us today here on Enterprise Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And you're most welcome. Certainly looking forward to hearing from you today. So for starters, why do you think the landscape of public relations is changing or changed in recent years?
Oh, I think such a complicated question, but there is the simplest way I could put it is, you know, we've seen the digital landscape explode. I think it's changed in that the tactics that we use to do our jobs are quite different. You know, when I first started in the 90s, email was kind of the same thing as social media and digital marketing is now. Everyone saw it as an opportunity and a new frontier. And of course, you know, 20 some odd years later, you can see the life cycle of that tactic. And so I think PR is somewhat the same in that our job is always going to be to determine and provide credibility for clients. But I think it's definitely changed in that we don't do that anymore with, you know, hard print cover stories and newspaper articles. We do it more with online advertising and good marketing campaigns and things that. So I think the short answer to that question is it's changed. All the tactics have changed quite a bit, but the real reason it's like MO for existing hasn't changed that much.
And why does PR and SEO investment sometimes fall flat? Touch on that from your experience.
Well, that's a good question. You know, I hear this a lot because, again, kind of hearkening back to the old way of doing things, it was very cut and dry. You would hire our firm, you would hire someone like me because I was the only person that knew the editors and the reporters that you needed to get in front of. It wasn't as commonplace for those kinds of activities to be open to the public. You know, it wasn't that accessible to everybody. So it was pretty clear, you know, you'd come hire me, I'd say, yep, we're gonna get you in these magazines. And I knew the best way to do that. Over time, I developed my Rolodex to make that happen. And that's, it was very cut and dry. Now, you know, the landscape has completely changed. And so there are a lot of bloggers, there are a lot of influencers that are not necessarily old school media. And so, you know, having that happen, there are a lot of people that can call up an influencer or create an influencer themselves. And so it's a little hard to go to a person and say, you know, that clear line of demarcation isn't there. So when people go to hire PR, marketing, SEO, you know, I think they make the mistake of thinking too tactical because they think, well, you know, I did this myself. This newsletter has been successful and I'm going to keep doing it. Or, you know, we have this blog and I love doing it. It's something I want to do and we need to keep doing it. So they'll approach someone like me and say, you know, we need you to write more articles for our blog. We just need them to be better covered. And, you know, I would say to that, you know, there are three things you really need to pay attention to when you're talking about investing in a PR, SEO, marketing, any kind of communications activity. And the first is the messages matter. You know, what is your story? If you don't have that nailed down, it really doesn't matter how much you spend or who does it. It's going to not really resonate with people. The second is the means matter. So reach them where they read is something I usually say in my presentations. And by read, I just mean consume materials. You know, some people, we're on a podcast right now, and I know my husband loves podcasts. So, you know, if you're wanting to reach my husband, you're going to do a lot better with a podcast than you will with me, because I read on my phone. So, you know, if you need to know a lot about your audience in order to figure out what are the best ways to get to them. And then the third one is the follow-up. The follow-up is key. You know, you tell your story, and then you just kind of wait for things to happen, and that's not how life works, you know? So you hear marketers say all these buzzwords like call to action or click funnels or, you know, marketing journey. And really all they're saying is make sure you're telling somebody the story you want them to hear, and you have a way for them to react to it in a way that, you know, comes back to your business goals, whether it's to sell, to download something, whatever it is. So in short, you know, these investments often fall flat because people don't always think about crafting a good story, know who you're telling it to, and what they need to do in order to interact with your company in the right way. And so I think that's why they often fall flat. And it's a real shame, because I think it's frustrating for business owners. And, you know, it's something that makes it harder for everybody. If people come to the table kind of already knowing that they've got some work to do on the front end, that'd be great.
Helpful feedback. Thanks for that. Now, what should owners or companies do to get the best deal if they are investing in PR or digital marketing?
Well, you know, we just talked about that falling flat. So you got to start with those things. You have to develop your messaging. You have to really have a good sense of where your customers are looking for information about your product. And then after that, I think you need to quantify your goals. So, you know, a couple of examples would be, we want to be able to track the journey of at least 65% of our website visitors, meaning, you know, we want to stop people from bouncing off our site without knowing why. That's a good goal. You should be able to go to a marketing person, tell them that, and a good marketing or PR person is going to know how to solve that problem. Another one would be, we want to change the perception of our company from, you know, this kind of provider to X kind of provider. Again, when you go with that in mind, you know, somebody that knows what they're doing ought to be able to draw a very clear line from point A to point Z. And so lastly, once you figure this out, you know, you have to really decide how much it's worth to you to do it. You know, if you do a huge product upgrade or launch an e-commerce site, and those are huge things that if they fail, they're expensive. It's not just the loss of money in your investment. It's the loss of money to your company, the revenue to your company. So a good rule of thumb is for anything that you're doing that's new, you are looking at a 15 to 20% of your total revenue to spend on that. And then if you're established and you're just looking for credibility, you're looking from 5 to 15% of total revenue. And so I make that distinction because it's kind of easy to get lured into this promise of, you know, cheap solutions to some of these things. And the reality is the gig economy and consultancies, and I myself have plugged into that for the past 15 years. So I'm a proud member of the gig economy. So I think it's very valuable. It affords businesses an opportunity to get things less expensively than they would have otherwise gotten them, you know, 10, 20 years ago. However, you really need to know what you're doing when you do that. So a good example is Fiverr. I use it. Everyone uses it to a certain degree. And you know, if you've been on there, that if you just go to one of the vendors and say, hey, I need this icon done, that's not enough information to get everything done. And so, you know, you really want to make sure that you go in there and you have your goals. Like, I need this button done. It needs to do the following things. It has to look the following way. Here are all our colors, you know, yada, 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 all of the details. And when you do that, you are able to get the information that you need from that service provider. And I think that's really where business owners kind of fall, not necessarily fail, but they don't understand that they need to really, really understand what it is they need to accomplish and how much that's going to cost. And once they do that, you know, then they can find these efficiencies and things like that. Because you ought to be able to go to an artist or a writer and say, here's our fully baked plan. This is where you fit into it. And when you can have that conversation, it's going to be a lot less expensive for the company. So it's not to say you can't plug into the gig economy. You know, you don't have to spend all 20% of that revenue on a consultant. In fact, you shouldn't do that. You need to find one that knows how to find those efficiencies and where the best place to get them is.
Today we are joined by Christine Petrilla of Petrilla PR and Marketing here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, Christine, why do you think automation is so important? This is why we have you here today.
Well, automation, and just I want to briefly define it as almost anything that you do that you don't push the button yourself. You know, so a lot of people will say that email marketing through MailChimp or whatever is an automation, and it is. It is because it's allowing software to help you do the heavy lifting and some of the marketing stuff we need to do. But I think automation just is the glue that kind of holds all of these spends together, you know, all of this investment together. I mentioned at the very beginning that after crafting your message and knowing where you're putting it and where you're telling it, that you have to also follow up, and that's where automation comes in. I mean, if you kind of look at it in a different context, if you were to go to a job interview and you had a fantastic job interview and everyone was happy and you left the office, but nobody ever called anybody else and said, hey, what's going on? Where are you in the decision-making process? Can I get an answer? Can we talk again? Nothing would ever get done. You know, that follow-up is key to closing the gap between something that happened that was very successful and carrying it forward to the next opportunity. And so, and it's also a valuable way for companies to learn what they're doing well and what they're not doing so well. And so automation is that key. It solves the chicken and the egg dilemma for most business owners. You know, we're all trying to do a lot with not as much money as we'd like to. You know, and automation is going to help you fix and solve that problem. You can spend a little on tactics, but, you know, not skimping on strategy and execution is something. And when you're talking about automation, and it helps you do the heavy lifting yourself. So, you know, I mean, for any company, it depends on what their strategy is going to define. But, you know, anybody can understand that it's a lot easier to email 1,500 people with software than it is to email one. You know, I think the trick is that you get somebody very good that knows how to make those emails look like you didn't just email 1,500 people, you emailed just the one person, you know, that got their email with their name and maybe a special video that singled them out. But automation is the follow-up. It's the only way to get really the feedback and the call to action and, you know, however you'd like to frame it. But it's the only way to close the loop on these marketing conversations.
And do people have to use software to automate their activities, or if not, what are their options?
Well, in some form, yes. I think that's an awesome question, because I think a lot of people get kind of confused by automation, where they know they need to do it. They've read a few articles. They kind of get what the concept is. And so they go out and they start looking, and they get contacted by a lot of these companies that are very good at marketing, and kind of get sold a little bit of a bill of goods. And by that, I mean, they're all of the concepts and softwares that are available are right for some businesses, but they're not right for all businesses. So, you know, I think when you're building your strategy, you want to take a look at not just your budget, but what your goals are. So I mentioned before that MailChimp and Constant Contact, when they allow you to auto send an email, that's automation, and that you can do something as simple as that and still get the benefits of automation if that benefits your business plan. But there are also, you know, and everyone's heard of the biggies are Pardot, HubSpot, Marketo, you know, big companies use those marketing automation programs to do just about everything. You know, when you go to Amazon and look for shoes and then see all the ads later and get emails 2 weeks later that say, hey, you never bought these shoes. I mean, those are the big, huge automation schemes that some of these big companies are using. And sometimes they do work for small business, particularly those in e-commerce and the ones that have a lot of SKUs, companies that have a lot of SKUs. And so, but I think, do you need to use software? There isn't one specific one. They all have their own, you know, pros and cons, if you will. I think one of the reasons we just became a certified partner for Infusionsoft, and one of the reasons we did that is because that's a good middle of the road. I think it's powerful enough to run an e-commerce site off of. It is sophisticated enough to plug into remarketing and all of that, but it isn't, you know, $800, $1,000 or more a month. That said, there are also some like Hatchbook and ActiveCampaign that are even less expensive than Infusionsoft and still kind of do the same thing. So do you have to use software? Yes. But do you have to be pigeonholed into using one that's above your budget? Absolutely not. There's always a cheaper one. There's always one that's a little less expensive. And, you know, just don't get tricked into buying all the bells and whistles that you don't need necessarily, which I think is something a lot of people do. They come to me and say, oh, I bought Pardot. And really all they needed was a good email response campaign system. And Pardot is like, you know, I mean, that's the Rolls Royce of automation systems, and you just don't need it for one or two things like that. So yeah, I think that would be my advice there. Yes, you almost always need software. No, it doesn't need to cost a lot of money.
Well, Christine, it has been our pleasure to have had you. Really hit on some great stuff here today, and we can't thank you enough for sharing your expertise with us this morning. In conclusion, is there any closing thoughts, a takeaway, or a final tip for the listeners today?
Yeah, don't be afraid of some of these new tactics. You know, everyone likes to talk about how certain aspects of marketing are dying or PR are dying, or they're not dead. They just changed. You know, they're renewing in a different format. And so, you know, the other thing I would say is don't be afraid of some of these new buzzwords that you hear. Just learn what's behind them. It's really very simple. Channel marketing, all of that stuff is really just automation. It's telling your story to the market a little bit more effectively. And so, you know, you can do all of this on any kind of budget. And so just don't be afraid of it. Let it help your business. And then one thing I'd say just as a little kind of promo for myself is, you know, you can always call me and I will help you. I do 30-minute consultations on the front end for anyone that calls and asks questions, and I have no problem kind of prescribing automation software or certain things. You know, you don't have to necessarily use me. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to, but I'm glad to help and get you out of that confusion cycle because yeah, all of this new stuff is fantastic, and I hope a lot of business owners get past some of the initial hesitation and use it to grow their business.
Christine, before you go, where can listeners get all the details on Petrilla PR and marketing, and how could they also be in touch?
Well, the first stop should be the website. And I'll spell it the same way that my parents taught us when we were little kids. It's PietryLaPR.com. So it's PietryLaPR.com. And, you know, I'll just also tell you that to give me that 30-second phone call or 30-minute phone call is 312-612-0283. I'm right at the other end of that line and can help with anything.
Christine, again, it has been our pleasure, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
And you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Christine Petrilla of Petrilla PR and Marketing, a boutique PR firm in Chicago, Illinois, that works with product manufacturers and professional services clients in need of specialty marketing automation, media relations, online marketing, and corporate strategy. As a boutique PR and marketing firm, they are called in to act as a CMO when hiring. One full-time is not the answer. And for all the details and for contact, visit PetrillaPR.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check out our new live location as we are now streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live with the new app coming soon to accompany our live stream in the coming weeks. And once again, as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.